What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined, as always, by my main man, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Doing pretty good. Just trying to get through the week here. As soon as we got off the stream last week, breaking news hit. So we've had to wait a week kind of to really talk about it. But, looking forward to chatting it up with the community here, and let's see what we get up to.
Right. Yeah, I was going to hit everybody with a brand new, like, come in type, intro the whole time, sitting here in my quiet trying to practice it. And then when it was time to go live, I completely froze. messed it up. Maybe next week I will hit y'all with a new like come in type deal. But no, like you said, it's the news broke last week, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But right after, I think the very following morning, after our show, that we made another decent signing, somewhat of a splash signing, and haven't really done much since then. But now we get a chance to talk about that and really, really unpack that. So I guess without further ado, we might as well just get into it. Dre's over here laughing at me. Dude, I locked up big time. He's over here, just said, JR says he completely froze. I did, man. I was over here practicing it in my head. I was like, all right, I got this. And then I look up. Normally I try to like start the show, like I give it about a minute 30, right? And that's like, that's my mark in my head. I try to give it about a minute 30 to let everybody get in here, who's gonna be here right off the bat. And I look up and it was a minute 42. So that just totally like frazzled me. So, into the inner workings of JR, right?
Yes, you did. Another PR.
There you go. There it is.
You are not late.
That's right. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Big news in a lot of words, puns intended. We made the Falcons made the official signing of Calais Campbell. Mm-hmm. And now like, okay, that morning I'm over here at like a vendor's place, picking up some material for the job. One of the guys on site there, anytime he sees me, he comes up to me and we talk Falcons for a few minutes. Been doing this for years now. And he come up to me and I was all like, man, did you see that signing? And we were like talking back and forth and he starts pointing at this other guy. And he says, see, I told you, da, da, da. And they're jawing back and forth. And the guy starts jawing at me. And I was like, hold on, before we get going, like, obviously you don't root for the Falcons. Obviously, you don't care. Who do you root for, right? And he was like, well, I'm a Bucks fan. Right. He's a Bucks fan. Right. And I was like, all right. So we go back and forth for a few minutes. He's trying to convince me that they're in better shape than we are. And I'm trying to tell him, like, look, dude, I get it. We don't know what we have in Ritter, but we know what you have in Baker Mayfield. So, like, I don't think we're on the same trajectory here. And he was talking about, oh, you signed 50-year-old Calais Campbell. How is that a big deal? First of all, he ain't 50. Second of all, he was still a very productive player last year. Yes. Obviously not double digits, sacks. He had 5.5 sacks, but he still had a ton of hurries, a ton of pressures. I put out a tweet last week talking about the hurries and the pressures now that you have from Grady Jarrett, Calais Campbell, and David Onyemata. That's far and away better than anything that we had last year. And I think Calais Campbell represents probably the best defensive lineman that Grady has ever played with. Like, yes. Before Campbell, it was Don Terry Poe. And the year that he had Don Terry Poe, Grady Jarrett looked like he was on pace for double-digit sacks. Right? Like he didn't hit double-digit, but he had that feel that he was on the cusp of it.
Well, that was the year we had that we went to the Super Bowl and he had three sacks in the Super Bowl. He had Don Terry Poe next to him.
Yeah. Was that the year? I thought it was the year after that. Could be wrong. Either way. But still, it was, you know, like, and I think Calais Campbell represents that type of an upgrade, you know, to put on the same D line as, you know, Grady Jarrett. Now, as Millie Mills says over here, Calais playing true defensive end, I kind of like that. That was something that he alluded to, you know, that he will be playing, you know, they've told him that he's going to be playing a true defensive end, which makes sense. Like we've been saying so far in this entire offseason about how Ryan Nielsen coming from New Orleans likes their big defensive ends. And up to this point, we hadn't signed one. You know, you had brought back Lorenzo Carter, who's in the 250 range, and like you hadn't brought in anybody else when you had the chance, you know, Kentavious Street or, you know, what have you. Jonathan Willie's wanting to know where your hat is. You're messing people up. You can't be changing it on people like that.
I know. Well, you know, I got the haircut. I got
looks
the
fresh. Looks trim. Fresh. Yep.
You know, had to show it off today.
There you go.
I asked the wife. I was like, hat, no hat. What do you think? And she's like, no hat. Your hair looks good.
So there you go. All right. We'll roll with that. And, you know, as far as speaking of headwear, it says, evening, boys. Draft hat looks nice, DRC. Yeah.
It does.
Y'all know me. This makes like the fourth or fifth draft hat year in a row I've gotten the draft hat. And as soon as they leaked it, as soon as it, the picture started going up, I found the picture and put it online. I was like, now if I could just buy the thing. And the Atlanta Falcons, like Twitter actually tweeted underneath mine with a link to buy it. And I was like, so I had to.
So now to get back to the Calais Campbell signing, Mr. CD for life, you know, so we're bringing in leadership, knowledge, winners. That's what's been missing. Let's effing go. And so, yeah, like that is – if Calais Campbell comes in and he gets you a bunch of pressures but only gets like two sacks for the season, I think he's going to probably have more than that. But let's say he only comes up with like two and a half sacks or whatever. This signing is not necessarily about specific. They want to win. They want to try to win as much as they possibly can. They want to win the division, get to the playoffs, make a deep run. They want to do all those things. But and that's the short-term goal. The long-term goal with a Calais Campbell signing is we get to bring in a guy who can be productive, has been productive his entire career, is a consummate professional, and is a great leader in, you know, in the locker room. That is going to have a bunch of new guys coming in.
Yep.
We've still got young guys on the team now, and you know, it's to help build further, like build and solidify the foundation they're trying to build, the type of culture they're trying to build. That's what this signing ultimately is a building block towards a future where, you know, to be a Falcon, like when you walk into or sign to the Steelers, there's a certain culture to the Steelers. When you sign to San Francisco, there's a certain culture to San Francisco. You know, there are certain teams that when you sign, you know what you're getting into, you know what it's going to be. And the hope is that we can get to that point where it's like when you sign with the Falcons, you know what you're getting into. You know what kind of culture this is. Mm-hmm. That's the hope anyways.
Well, no, yeah, you're definitely not wrong on any of that. And also, but some of the comments that Calais made, you know, in his introductory press conference, like really, you know, paints it paints that picture plus more, right?
Yes.
And like he said, like he full on said he came here because he believed in what they were doing. Now, a lot of this you can chalk up to, well, what else is he supposed to say? Maybe, you know, a lot of times we'll say, oh, well, the Falcons were the ones that were offering him the most money. And maybe they were. I mean, he did get more this year than he did last year, the last year of his deal with the Ravens. you know, because I think he signed a 2-year deal with the Ravens. But he had, like, the opportunity to go talk to the Jets. He had an opportunity to go talk to the Bills. And he had previously talked to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he had played previously. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jaguars and the Bills are, you know, a playoff team from a year ago with aspirations to continue, you know, going that route, continue getting into the playoffs. The Jets, at any moment now, before, like, everything really kicks off, everybody expects Aaron Rodgers to be a Jet. Okay, like, now, like, what it sounds like is they're just working out compensation or trying to figure out what that's going to look like. So if that's the case, they think that they're going to be in the playoffs, right? And so for Calais to come here and choose to come to Atlanta really, you know, shows that he believes in the coaching staff. Guys at this stage of his career generally don't like to waste the last years of their career. Generally speaking, you've made the money you're going to make, and now we're going to be, you know, like, chasing a ring. And I'm not saying that we're ring bound, but he definitely feels like it's a worthy cause to be here. And I thought that was intriguing. You know, when he talked about, you know, Arthur Smith going against him for a couple of years in Jacksonville, like, he had a good feel for, you know, the type of offense that Smith wants to run. And, you know, talking about it being a hard-nosed offense. And you can really tell that that was what was carrying over into this team. And, you know, he said that Smith wanted to have a violent D-line. And he definitely says he's here to bring the violence. And I like that, right? You know, as far as all that goes, Josh says, you know, did we offer him the most money? That could be a small percentage of why.
Well, I mean, yeah.
If you want to, okay, sorry, I put that off too soon. If you want to go that route, like, he didn't get an offer from the Jets or the Bills. So there's no real saying, like, he never made that trip. Like, we might have been offering him more than Jacksonville, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bills or the Jets could have easily offered him more.
But also look at it this way. This guy, he started off his career in Jacksonville, got one big contract from them, moved on, got a big contract from the Cardinals, moved on and got a contract from the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And so this is like his fourth or fifth contract now. The guy's made plenty of money. He seems like he's a smart guy. Probably has it invested properly or what have you. It's not like the guy's going to go broke. So at the end of the day, did we offer more money? Potentially. Was that going to be, you know, potentially, is that the most important thing for him at this stage of his career? Not necessarily. I'm not saying the guy wouldn't, you know, if we offered him what we offered him and everybody else was offering him like $1 million a year, that he would take $1 million somewhere else for something, you know, much bigger than that. But if they were offering him like 4, 5, 6, and we offered him 7 with potential to make it up to 9, you know, then, like, I could absolutely see him going to what most people would look at as contenders, especially the Bills, especially Jacksonville, the up and coming Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I could see it absolutely, and you know, finish his kind of full circle thing, like finish his career where he started.
Mm-hmm. You know, did he start in Jacksonville or the Cardinals?
No, he started in Jacksonville.
Okay. For some, I don't know why. I was thinking that he started. I know he played for the Cardinals. I thought he started in the Cardinals and went to Jacksonville. But I obviously had that backwards. B Strong tipped us $2. He said, I'm really hoping for Bijan Robinson at 8. We're going to get into that here in a little bit. Like, we're going to do, I think we're going to do a mock draft tonight. But it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, they are setting themselves up. What they have done through free agency has set themselves up to be BPA all the way around in the draft, whether that means Bijan at 8, whoever they feel is the best guard at 8. What is it? If it's Skorinski or Osiris Torrance, Osiris or Osiris yeah. Torrance.
Osiris Torrance.
The guy out of Florida. You know, they're setting themselves up to go whatever route they want to go. And that's been fun because it leaves a level of mystery that we have that we never really had under Dimitrov. Like, you went into the draft knowing full well, you may have not have known who, but you were knowing full well what position you were going after in the first round. So,
they tried to, they had a different philosophy. They were drafting for need.
Right.
They were, now granted, I'm not saying that when they drafted Julio Jones, they didn't draft what they felt was the best player in the draft. that very well may have been it. But at the same time, we needed that explosiveness at that time.
You had just gotten boat raced by Green Bay in that previous playoffs and yep. everybody else around you. It was an arms race in the NFC at that time. You had your entrenched quarterback. The one true weapon you had at that time, receiver-wise, was Roddy White. So, you know, you needed that other explosion, or at least that was the way that went out. Yeah. Fred tipped us $2, which we appreciate. He says, if we draft Carter, nobody will stop this defense. I appreciate that. I got a feeling that I don't think Carter's going to be there when we draft, to be honest with you. I don't think he makes it past Seattle or Detroit. So that's just my gut feeling. But I think if he's there, there's a real good chance he'll be a Falcon. I know that there's swirling reports. I just can't see them walking away from that kind of a talent if he's there. I don't think he'll be there.
Not like, here's the thing. This stuff came out well in advance of the draft.
You got plenty of time to vet this stuff.
He's pretty much taking care of the legal side of this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, unless something else pops up. If something else pops up out of the blue, then all bets are off. And especially if it pops up draft night, and if it actually surprises people. But at the end of the day, this guy, was he doing something he should have been doing? Absolutely. But we've seen far worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jameis Winston had far worse stuff going on in his past than like Jalen Carter that we know about.
Yeah, the Tunsil, like all that stuff. Like, it's like, no, Carter, like, he was doing what I consider to be a typical 19, 20-year-old, like, stupid stuff.
It was like, stupid it stuff. It was bad. A bad.
Right. Yeah, it was real bad. But
it was a bad situation that somebody died in.
Yeah.
But
I don't think
at the end of the day, like, how many 19, 20, 21 year olds do that same exact stupid thing? Nobody ends up dying, but it's still a stupid thing. And then you learn from it and try not to do that stupid thing again. Now, the ramifications of that stupid thing, and he wasn't the cause of it.
No.
But he was in the middle of doing the same thing that other people were doing, and during the process of this, somebody got hurt.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, he made a mistake.
That's
it probably affected him through his pro day.
Yeah, he might not go like top three like everybody was thinking, but I don't think he falls out of the top 10 by any stretch.
I'll say if he does potentially, and I think I saw this somewhere else, and I agree with this. Seattle has a tendency to, like, not really care what anybody thinks.
Who was it? Chris put that comment up. Hold on. Let me find it. He's saying the same thing. He said Seattle does not believe in character issues.
So now, if something were to happen and they were to pass on him, then I think either there's still stuff we don't know, or even of the stuff that we know, they know more about than we do.
Right.
And maybe, and there's gotta be something more if that's the case.
Yeah.
Cause if he falls past that, then there's something else going on.
I think I'm inclined to agree with Tony here. He says we will not be drafting Jalen Carter as he will be gone in the first five selections. Like, they're even as confident about it. Like, it's come out in the last day or two that they're not really taking any visits with teams outside of the top 10 unless they're confident they're going to trade up to the top 10. Like, because he has, like, Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, like, super agent Drew Rosenhaus. Like, you know, that shows you you know, the confidence level, like he's not falling. He's not falling out of the top 10. So like if he's there at eight, that would be amazing. I don't see him being there at eight. You know, that's, yeah. that's just, and then, our buddy D Sloan, who I hadn't seen in a minute. What's up, D? He said, what's up, fellas? Who would y'all take at eight? Well, we're going to get into that here in a little bit. So stick around.
Yeah.
Cause we're going to do a mock draft tonight with all the free agency stuff going on. We haven't really had, much of a chance to do, you know, a mock draft. So, but we're going to tonight. So like Josh Gillum's on board. He says, I think Dijon is Bijan Dijon. I'll start calling him Bijan Mustard. Anyway, take that junk on everything. He says, I think Bijan is the best player in the draft overall. Here's the thing about Bijan, right? Is for all the people out there who are saying, oh, we need a wide receiver too, and floating Quentin Johnson or the kid out of you know, TCU, or even trading back and getting the wide receiver in Enigma Smith or whatever his name is from Ohio State. Everybody's like, oh man, you know, we need a wide receiver too. We need a wide receiver too. There's something that y'all are gonna hear me say a lot as we go throughout this offseason. We got to quit thinking about wide receiver one, wide receiver two, tight end one, tight end two, running back one, running back two, because it's all going to be like targets. It's all going to be option one, two, three, and four. It doesn't matter their position. And if you draft somebody like a Bijan Robinson in this offense, he could easily be RB1 and wide receiver two. Like, he could give you that peak prime Le'Veon Bell production. And if you draft him in the first round, you have 5 years of control. And at the end of that 5 years of relatively cheap control, you can decide whether you want to re-up them or if you've ran them into the ground at that point. Yep. So,
unless something radically changes, it's not like top tier running back pay is like breaking anybody these days anyways. It's like $12 million a year.
Right. And so he, like, if he decided that he wanted to completely dedicate his craft to being a slot receiver, he'd probably be the best one in the league. And then you add on top of that his running ability, which is like he's clear-cut RB1 in this draft. Now I see that that no good but so good. I love the spelling of good there, buddy. Anyway, no, he says give me Gibbs over Bijan. Now, my only thing with Gibbs is like he's not much for running in between the tackles, where Bijan, you know, can hit the middle of the line and get through it. He has the bulk, the power to do so, along with breaking people's ankles in tight quarters and open field. Like Bijan is the complete package, as to where, you know, Gibbs to me represents a top tier Alvin Kamara style scat,
which is great,
amazing. But keep this in mind, Alvin Kamara has like he's never led the league in touches or anything like that in as far as running backs go, you know. So
he's not, and it's proved out. Like everybody was wondering, can he be a bell cow type of back? And initially they're like, oh yeah, he can do it. And then he gets injured. Like he's not a bell cow.
And
Jahmyr Gibbs is not a bell cow. You know, potentially Bijan is, but even if he is, if we were to draft him here and basically set him up with him and Tyler Algier as your two main running backs, like he's not going to be the bell cow in the attempts category because not going to run him 350 times a year. He's going to probably get, as far as carries go, he's probably going to get somewhere between 250. And then Algier's going to get whatever's left over, like 150 to 200. And I'm going to say something. I want to put this up here in a second. He's not going to be that for us right now. But I want to, wrong one.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler just
said some things. Go ahead.
You're saying, okay, so Fred, Tyler just got over 1,000 yards when I drafted him running back in the first round. If this was the Dimitroff era,
I'd agree 100%.
Okay, I would agree 100%. Absolutely would agree with you 1,000%. Okay. Yep. To match your 1,000 yards. I would agree. The way this team is being built right now, we are filling in as many of the holes as we possibly can in free agency with the money that we have. And especially on defense, we plugged a lot of holes and kind of remade this defense. And we'll get to you in just one second, Willie.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But the, you know, when you do that, and the offensive line doesn't, you know, yeah, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but the left guard is kind of a question mark a little bit. But for the most part, we got almost the entire rest of the offensive line coming back. We've added a couple of weapons on offense. We're getting a big weapon back on offense. We've added to the defensive line much more so, and it looks 1,000 times better than it did last year, especially to end the year.
Yeah.
The backfield already, just with Bates alone, is a better backfield than us, you know, secondary than we had last year immediately. And you're going to get Casey Hayward back, unless, you know, something happens and we end up cutting him to save money because of some other guy we want to pick. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we're setting ourselves up to be exactly what Terry Fontenot says we want to be. We're signing free agents for need. And when it comes to the draft, whoever's on our board as the best potential player that we think is up there, that's who it's going to be. Now, if that's Jalen Carter and he's there, great. If that's Bijan Robinson, great. If that's Christian Gonzalez, great. Doesn't really matter. If they're available and they're the top guy on our board, that's where we're going.
Right. I mean, I can't.
If we need a wide receiver too, or we need another quarterback, no, if it's a.
And there's two statements that I want to make, and then I'm going to get to Willie Dock's question. Is one, you cannot overlook the fact that this is the team that drafted a. Or this is the regime that drafted a tight end at number 4. Never been drafted that high. When we had a ton of needs, and they still draft a tight end at 4. And then this is also the same GM that, in no uncertain terms, point blank, told everybody that they have no problem stacking talent at a position.
Yep. Adding to a strength.
Adding to a strength. Does not bother them one bit. So if it lines up where they feel like Bijan's the best player on the board, I can't see them hesitating and taking it. And I think we will be better for it. Now, Willie Dock just tipped us $10, and we appreciate hold on.
Whoop. For the $10.
Nope. He says, can you explain what makes someone a blue chip prospect? Isn't any top 10 draft prospect blue chip? And why would someone pass on a blue chip prospect? Thanks. Okay. This is going to be a JR-ism or a JR definition. A blue chip prospect to me is somebody who you cannot miss with. If there is an aspect of a player's game that you're like, oh, well, he hasn't necessarily developed yet, or he needs to develop more, then I don't know if I would consider him a blue chip prospect, a solid blue chip. Like, perfect example in this draft, I don't see a blue chip prospect edge player. Now, there's going to be a few edges that are taken in the top 10 just by the nature of them being the only ones in this draft. But there's no Nick Bosa. There's no Joey Bosa. There's no Chase Young. There's no TJ Watt per se in this draft that I see. Okay. Like Tyree Wilson, you're betting on traits. Like, he has all the traits and measurables, just like Tavon Walker did last year. So Wilson, you're betting on traits. Anderson, Josh says, Anderson is a can't miss prospect. My only concern with Anderson, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, I guess, is the way Alabama ran their defensive line, very rarely did Anderson just line up and beat a left tackle or a right tackle. You know, it was always a lot of stunts and a lot of twists. That's just the nature of Alabama's line and how they run their defense. I'm not saying he can't do it, but when you pop on the tape, like, you don't get to see it. Like, and you just put it up there. His weight is a concern. Yes. He was listed at 235. He showed up at the combine at 250, which is a boon for him. Like, he will probably be the first pass rusher taken off the board. But to me, there's no blue chip, no real blue chip. Joey Bosa can't miss. Nick Bosa.
Chase.
You know, Chase Young. Even though Chase Young has had a rough go of it so far. But as far as prospects go, there's no one like that in this draft.
Yeah, like probably the one that always sticks out to me is Jadeveon Clowney. Like, when he was coming out of college, and he took like almost like a whole season off in college because he didn't want to get injured. But I remember watching that kid in college, and he like single-handedly made that defense good. He was that kind of player.
Right.
And that was the you know, that was the guy the last time I was like, this is a guy that I could absolutely see. You know, he's kind of that can't miss guy. And he's, you know, had some really good success in the NFL. Maybe hasn't quite lived up to that, the lofty expectations that he came into the league with. But, yeah.
I mean, he may not have, but he's still getting paid. You know what I'm saying?
And yes, he's been
in the league for a long time. And you're 100% right, Chris. Tape don't lie. You know, combine numbers and testing numbers are great, but, you know, go watch tape. And this is what, yeah, I agree. This is what makes the Nolan Smith, like, conversation interesting, because he's another small guy or smaller guy who, like, how do you play him? You know, where do you play him? So, to me, though, that's, like, to me, the blue chip prospects in this draft is you, like, quarterback, you have C.J. Stroud. Like, as far as quarterbacks go, you know, the hit rate that happens there, I don't think you can miss per se with C.J. Stroud. You have concerns with, you know, Bryce Young's measurables, height, weight, that kind of stuff, longevity. So the blue chip prospects to me are at the cornerbacks, which with Christian Gonzalez, with Devin Witherspoon, and with Joey Porter Jr. It is with running back. I do feel like Bijan is on the level of Saquon Barkley when he was coming out, you know, as far as, you know, worthy of a top 10 pick. I think Bijan is, as far as we're just talking about talent. And then the other, like, blue chip prospect is, you know, Jalen Carter.
Yep.
Even with the, you know, Skorinsky and Osiris and Broderick Jones and those guys, like, they're going to get picked, but I don't think they're going to get picked top 10. I think it's going to be like, there's going to be a run on O-lineman, and it might happen in the middle of the first round. So, like, the guys, there's going to be guys who get picked in the top 10 who shouldn't be. Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. I think those guys are going to get picked in the top 10, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But, all right. So that answers, you know, that question. Let's move on into briefly talking about the guard problem. Is there a guard problem? Because Elijah Wilkerson just signed with the Arizona Cardinals. So the guy who started the majority of the games at left guard is now on another team. We all really enjoyed the signing of, or the extension of, Chris Lindstrom. And with the money that was spent, the bringing back of Caleb McGarry at that price point was a good deal. But as I've said before, as of right now, your O-line hasn't gotten better. You know what I'm saying? Like,
to us,
right.
To us fans looking at it from the outside, we believe that what we're seeing so far is the O-line has not gotten better. we don't know what they feel internally.
Right.
Maybe they feel like we talked about before with Hennessy, not that great at center. Maybe he turns out to be a really good guard because, you know, he actually showed some good stuff towards the end of the year when he played his guard. Right. So bringing him back, the guy you've already got, which, you know, but what they'll probably end up doing is either later in the draft, fourth, fifth, sixth round, take another guard would be my guess. Maybe they like a guy enough to go and get him in the first, maybe the second. I don't know. Maybe they trade back and get a guard in the first.
I'm about to say, give me, if he's sitting there in a second, give me Cody Maul as far as that goes. Millie says, who filled in for Wilkerson when he got hurt? It was a collective. You had Hennessy for some games. You had Cody Gossett for, a couple games. You had Adoga, who signed with the Cowboys for some games. And so, yeah. And I mean, him getting hurt like he did last year was probably the reason why they didn't bring him back, to be honest. But I was never really necessarily advocating for bringing back Wilkerson, but I was advocating and still am advocating for bringing in somebody, who has a good track record. I don't know how confident I will be rolling into the season at left guard with our most experienced person being Matt Hennessy. Now Chris says, I want to see Hennessy and Schaefer get a shot during camp. And that could be what they're thinking. Like, it could be that they're going to throw Hennessy, Schaefer, and Mayfield. I know that probably sends shivers up everybody's spine, but they probably figure in those three young guys with the tutelage of Dwayne Ledford, that they're going to be okay there. Yeah. Or there's always cuts, towards the beginning of, training or towards the end of training camp, beginning of the summer, people like June 1st type, deal trying to free up more money. Derek asked, do we still have Gossett? I don't right now. I think he's a free agent. So, I mean, we could bring him back.
Yeah.
Now Boss Tucker did ask, do you think Mayfield can make a comeback? Most of the time y'all hear me say that I don't ever give up on a draft prospect until after their third season. Man, Mayfield's going to have to show me. Like, he's probably the first and only, guy that I have like just pretty much washed my hands with, because he looked like he completely and utterly lost confidence. And generally speaking, when a guy looks like he has lost confidence in what he's doing, it's hard to rebound from that.
Yeah.
At least I've seen.
Look, we'll see how, this is going into this will be what, his third year?
Yeah, this will be his third year, because he got thrown in the fire and absolutely baptized his rookie year. His second year, he didn't play. He was pretty much on IR or inactive all season. So, yeah, this will be his third year.
Okay. So, let's see what he's got, coming in, through OTAs and training camp. We'll see. Maybe the guy, talk to a shrink or something, whatever he needs to get his head right. Sports psychologist, whatever.
Whatever he needs.
But at the same time, like, I want him to, I would like for him to, at the very least, be a competent backup.
Right.
It's a guy we drafted.
We spent a third round pick on him.
Yeah.
Like a third round pick, I'm expecting to be a fringe starter or a solid backup.
Yeah.
Give us
a guy who could be a swing tackle or backup guard.
And that's where Derek's like, Mayfield is a right tackle, not a left guard. Mayfield played right tackle, in college. But just like with when everybody talks about Skorinski, like Skorinski played tackle in college, and everybody just immediately thinks that a tackle can, bump into guard and be just fine. That's not always the case.
Yeah.
You're asking them, like, the movement is completely different. With your kick steps and from playing with space on the outside and being able to run a guy out to playing in a phone booth and having to absolutely anchor somebody like a Calais Campbell coming at you full force in your face. Yep. So,
you don't have as much, you know, you can't do the whole trading space for time.
No,
situation. It's like right. Everything happens right there,
right there. And so out of your Falcon mind says he's got to strengthen that lower back. Yeah, he does. He needs to be doing some Roman deadlifts or something. Yep. He needs to get with you, John, and get on your, whatever your workout program is. Cause he's got to do something. I think, honestly, I think Hennessy is going to be the one given the first shot.
Yeah.
Unless they draft somebody, I think Hennessy, you know, it is your first shot. Tony says, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I could absolutely see Hennessy this coming season being essentially like last season's Dahlman.
Right.
You know, essentially his first year really starting, being the guy. He's gonna take his lumps, but they're hoping that he can progress, you know, through this, get better from the beginning of the season to the end of the season,
right,
and then progress into 2024. So.
Yeah, Tony Wright's talking about like taking a, you know, left guard Jarrett Patterson out of Notre Dame with one of our two fourths. I'll say this, me and John put out a video on Saturday where we really highlighted guys that could fit that left guard position or guard position in the later rounds, in the fourth and on. And there's going to be some good options, you know. So
yeah.
Whether it's like you get lucky with a Cody Maw in the second, or you get McClendon Curtis in like the third or fourth round, or a Tippmann who's center or guard, you know, played both and also has an amazing mullet. So that's always a plus, right? To have.
Derek is asking, do we see us drafting a center? Really doesn't feel comfortable Dahlman in that snapping problem. We've talked about this before. Essentially my view on this is they gave Dahlman a shot. Dahlman had, especially early on, had a real bad time with snaps.
Yeah,
had way too many low or just errant snaps. He cleaned that up as the season. What didn't go away completely, but he cleaned it up as the season went along. And when you listen to the coaches talk, the specifically Arthur Smith has come out and said in interviews, like, we really like Dahlman. That they like the way he progressed from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Right.
Now will be a third year guy. Didn't play hardly any in his first year. He's a first year starter last year. They're trying to develop him so that he becomes better. And he's taking to the coaching because at least to them, he is because they're seeing his progression. So could, you know, later rounds pick up a backup guard/backup center guy that could maybe push for starter? I mean, yeah, I could see that. Do I think we're going to go out and get a Ben Jones?
No. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, but it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up with a guy like Tippmann or whatever.
If they were going to go for a Ben Jones, they would have already done it.
Yeah, they already grabbed him.
But I'm just saying a guy like that, if we were going to go for a free agency, like an established center, a veteran guy or whatever, if we were going to go that route, we would have already done it. The simple fact is that way they can go ahead and start building that relationship with Desmond Ridder.
Right.
You know,
Willie Dog says, the way I see it, left tackle solid. Well, I don't know. I think I'd put Jake Matthews in the above average, but you know, solid left guard ? Center average, right guard, darn good, and right tackle above average. And like with what they want to do, or at least what it seems like they want to do with running the ball as much as they do, this offensive line, you know, should only get better, and it's better with cohesion, which is possibly also what they're going for here.
Yep.
Let's see. Carl says, "Hey guys, what do you think about DTR, the QB from UCLA? He might be a steal." DTR is an athletic specimen. Like, as far as like above average measurables, as far as like speed and all that good stuff. He ran that Chip Kelly offense out there. He's a fun, electric player to watch. But if you, I'd be kind of, if you drafted him, that means you're going to cut Felipe Franks and he's going to be like your gadget guy, in my opinion. I think DTR is going to be a career backup, in my opinion.
He's definitely a guy that I could see the Falcons bringing in as sort of a – hopefully not make the mistake of paying him the kind of contract that he got, but he could kind of be your Taysom Hill-like guy.
Like, yeah, kind of deal. All right. Well, let's move into a mock draft. What do you say, Jonathan? You want to?
We can do that.
All right, let's do this. Let's do, bam. We'll do it like this. Already got it pulled up, man.
Oh,
yeah.
I had it on my end, but never mind.
Well, you slow, bro.
You're big dogging on me here.
You know, trying to beat you around me. All right, this time we're going to be using PFF. We like to try to switch it up as the draft season goes on. I'm going to set the parameters. The drafting need being down the middle. More of a public board over the PFF board, less randomness and positional value. So we're going to go for the Falcons, obviously. So enter draft. Now we're going to entertain trades, this time. Okay. Because I could really see us potentially trading down, depending on how everything falls out. So let's just start and see what happens. And we'll look at the first, see how many, we'll look at what's going on. Oh, I shouldn't have done turbo. Oh, well. We'll go back and just look at it. So, first overall was C.J. Stroud. Second was Bryce Young. Third was Will Anderson. Fourth, Anthony Richardson. Fifth, Tyree Wilson. Sixth, Christian Gonzalez. Seventh, Will Levis. So, but that leads us up with, like, Jalen Carter's on the board. Well, we just spent a whole bunch of time talking about. All right, trade-wise, we have eight teams interested. Philadelphia is interested in the trades. Houston is interested. So that's 10 and 12, so you're only going to go down a few spots. Yep. Green Bay is interested at 15. Detroit at 18. Cowboys at 26. Chiefs at 31, and then we get into the second round. I would like to try to stay in the first round myself.
Yep.
So, any of those picks, like I'm seeing a lot of, like Chris is saying, run to the podium for Carter. Tony is thinking, let's trade down and pick up an extra second or third rounder this year. I got a lot of trade downs. So
yep.
Since we haven't done
I think I know why we have a lot of trade downs, in chat. And that is because I cannot remember a time, especially first round. Now, maybe later in the draft, we do stuff. But I cannot remember a time in my life that we have had a decent enough first round draft pick that the Falcons have ever traded down.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know if that has ever happened.
All right. So we're going to entertain three different picks. How far down do y'all want to try to go for? We got 10, 12, 15, 18, 26. I'm thinking maybe 12 or 15.
Yeah, 15 is the floor for me.
15 is the floor for you.
Yeah, that's the lowest I want to go.
Right. All right. Well, let's say Green Bay really wants Jalen Carter. I don't know if that's what they'll pick, but let's go ahead and try 15. All right. Now,
okay, so we're gonna go with 15.
Yeah, we're gonna go with 15. And the way PFF works is, so we have to select 8 and 15. They give us the meter down here at the bottom, okay? So just one for one, our team owner will veto this, okay?
Okay.
So we can grab their second. It'll still go through. We can grab their third. Now it plummets to a 30% chance. So we'll take the third off the table. Let's go with a fourth. 67% chance.
Okay.
Okay. Now
is that less than the, like if it was just the second, I assume it is, right?
What do you mean? Just
take the fourth. Yeah.
Okay, 85% chance. So we're going to put that one back on the board. Now we're going to try for a third rounder next year. Going to happen. Now here's interesting. Fourth rounder next year. So we would swap first, get a second and a fourth and get a fourth rounder next year. That's not bad.
That's assuming it gets accepted.
I'm assuming it gets accepted. I'm assuming
you could also force the trade.
I could also force the trade. That I'm not going to do. Right.
Okay.
So does that seem like a chat? Do y'all like that trade, or do y'all want to explore a different one? Y'all gotta let me know before I hit.
Get an extra second and an extra fourth.
We get an extra second and an extra fourth this year that we could play with. Willie wants to explore 10. So since I like Willie, we'll jump to that real quick. So if we go just 10, and see, here's the deal. Well, they won't give us their second at all, right?
Yep.
So their third is a 59% chance. Mm-hmm. Fourth drops down to 28.
No.
Third next year, 27. Fourth next year, 49. So basically, we would get an extra third if we swap. Another PR says, I'm confused. We're only going to do this on the first round. I'm not going to sit here and do this for every round because we'll be here for 5 hours. So I actually kind of liked the what we had going on with Green Bay.
Get rid of the fourth. The extra fourth.
Okay.
So we actually had the second. So get rid of the third. Right.
Okay. Third. Okay.
And try to get next year's first.
Nope. Not gonna happen. Right.
Take off the keep next year's first.
Uh-huh.
And take off the second and then try to pick. Dang.
Yeah. I want more this year. If we're going to do this, if we're going to do it, I want more this year. Okay. Dre Jungle says, I would just draft Carter. That's probably what would happen. But we're trying to have fun here. We're trying to have fun. All right, let's go with this. This is what we had, 56%. That'll give us two extra picks to play with this year. So let's offer this trade and see what happens. Trade accepted.
All right, so we moved to draft. 15.
Hold on, let's see if I can change. Oh, no. Cancel. Okay. Resume draft. Bam. All right, let's see who they drafted. They drafted Jackson Smith, the wide receiver out of Njigba. That's who they drafted. That's fun. That's interesting.
See, this is I'm gonna say this right. I was gonna say something about this earlier. There are two scenarios that I do not want to see happen. Taylor Carter, if he's a Falcon, great. If he's a Raider, great. If he's whatever, great. I don't want to see him go to the Philadelphia Eagles,
which is what he did in this draft.
Exactly. And I don't want to see him. And I don't want to see Bijan Robinson go to the Philadelphia Eagles either. They don't need either one of those guys.
Okay. All right. So
either one.
We're sitting here at the 15th pick. We got the wide receiver out of TCU, Quentin Johnson. We got Khalil Chansey, the D lineman out of Pittsburgh. Brian Branch, the safety out of Alabama. If we wanted to go corner, there's Joey Porter Jr.
Yep.
Dalton Kincaid. Deontay Banks, the cornerback out of Maryland, who's another real good guy. Mm-hmm. Brian Breesy, if you want a D lineman. Edge at Nolan Smith, which 15 could be a range for Nolan Smith. Freaking King wants me to trade down again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get through this draft, King. Now, here's our guy, Bijan. Bijan Robinson at 15. Do we pull the trigger at Bijan Robinson?
I'm okay.
Derek wants Miles Murphy.
If we're dropping to 15.
Yeah.
If we're dropping to 15, I'm taking Bijan here. At 15, I'm taking him because when I look at the rest of the people on this board,
yeah,
there's nobody that really stands out to me as like a difference maker on the level that Bijan is.
That's kind of like, I like Nolan Smith. I really do. And I like Brian Breesy. But as far as like stacking what I see as a difference maker on this team, Like, I feel like I can get some of the same type of production from Breesy and Smith out of some of the other guys that we're going to see in the second round. A lot of the chat is saying, yeah, that's value for Bijan. I see a handful of Bijans. All right, let's just go Bijan. Let's do that. All right, boom, 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 bam. All right, not even worried about trades, so don't even ask me. Now,
yep.
If you want
trades are done for the evening.
Trades are done. Now, two guys, three guys right off the rip. Felix Uzma. I ain't even try that name.
Uzama.
That's it. I knew that one. Uzama. Okay. So Felix Uzama. And DK Uzama is he's an interesting edge guy. But if we're gonna go edge, I would rather go with 80-80 down here.
Yep. Adam Aware.
Yep. Adam Aware. He's a guy who I'd much rather go with. Now, Steve Avila, the guard out of TCU, is another solid prospect if you're concerned about guard. Since we went Bijan in the first round, if you wanted cornerback, Emmanuel Forbes is a really good man corner who is a ball hawk. So we could go cornerback. Tank Dell is there if we really wanted to make some people angry and add a wide receiver.
I'm with Derek here. 88 or ADD here.
Yeah, ADD.
I like him just in general. The guy's a crazy.
Oh, dude, he was an absolute menace down at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
and the fact that he's an edge rusher at 284 pounds,
and like you talk about 4.5 40.
Yeah, you talk about like. A prodigy to put under Calais Campbell's wing for a year. Like, I'd take him in a heartbeat. And I think I'm with Chris. We can get Darius Rush in the third as far as cornerbacks go. So yeah. I'm thinking 88.
But, so real quick, just pull up. Can you, cause I haven't actually used this one today. Can you filter it so we're only seeing cornerbacks? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Corners. Okay, there we go.
So if you just wanted to see corner, there's our corners.
All right, so
which, the corner right now I you still take, have.
Yep, that's the guy yeah, I want to say, take.
You still got Julius Brents. You still got Clark Phillips. You still got Darius Rush. I'm not.
Well, we also have the very next pick too. So
right. So anyway, all right, back to, I think we go 80-80 is what I'm thinking.
Yes.
So let's do that. All right, next pick. Bam. Hold the clock again. Chat, I need y'all to get like ramped up now. There's 180 y'all in here. Y'all got to have an opinion of what we're doing. Let's see. Pick him very next. Pick Brents next. Well, we can probably get Brents in the third.
All right. So what's our next pick after the 75? He's running at about ranking at about 60 something. I don't know if we'll be able to get to him, but you know,
I think somebody will be there for us in the third. Because if we're going anybody, we're going Emmanuel Forbes, and like, because like ranking value of where we are, that's the best value, right?
All right, so
and Forbes is like a really good, like if we're going to be playing a lot of like two high safeties. Or you know, or split field safeties, where you're going to be putting AJ Terrell and whoever on an island, like Forbes is another guy that you could put on an island.
The wide receivers look like?
Wide receivers. Somebody's correcting you, Jonathan. Campbell. Yes, played.
I saw that earlier.
I thought so. All right, wide receivers. Let's see what we got. Tank Dell is still there. My guy Michael Wilson is. And A.T. Perry and Rashee Rice and Tyler Scott. I think we're fine on Darnell Washington is gone. He went right before we picked at 43.
Oh, that would have been a good pick for that 45th.
So
dang.
If we wanted to add yet another tight end, hold on.
There's that Laporta.
Yeah, I'm about to say Sam Laporta is there. Tucker Kraft.
You add Laporta, now you got Pitts, Jonnu Smith. And Laporta as
you have all the tight ends.
All the tight ends.
All the tight ends. I don't know. I'm thinking we maybe solidify and get us a guard here. What do you think? How does a guard sound in the chat? in our second pick in the second round? Do we get guard or Forbes? I'll give. Or if we wanted to go center, there's Luke Whipler.
No. I think if we're going to pick up a guy at center, it's probably – this is my personal opinion. I think it'll probably be later in the draft, fourth, fifth, sixth, right. seventh round, something like that, where he's a guy that come in, can compete, and what have you. So
Avila is right there.
I haven't – to be honest, I haven't looked at Avila. So if you know more about him.
First look. What's his role? Avila's experience at both guard and center. I'm putting his build at guard if given the option, though. Angles in the run game is where he can improve. Where he wins is anchor. So, I don't know. I say we go with Avila. And that right. gets the – let's see, either guard
or – I would have probably gone – like, at this point, I would have probably gone with Forbes. But I'm good with Avila.
I don't know. I mean, King is with you on Forbes. Well, we got a couple more guards. Willie says either guard or corner. All right, next suggestion wins. I'm gonna let y'all be the tiebreaker. Whoever puts the next guard or corner.
Derek, I like that pick. Which one?
That one. All right, somebody give me guard or corner, and that's what we're gonna do. Cornerback, Blizz wins. Bam. All right, moving on to the third round. All right. So now we are – this is squarely like wide receiver territory, in my opinion. Or what was our other – we were looking at – we went with corner, so we don't need a corner now.
Oh, guard.
Guard, so an interior O-lineman. Voorhees is a guy that I feel like he might be there, and he's a guy that we could stash. So – let's take interior lineman off.
What's our next? Okay, so we got 110. We got three picks in a row, 110, 113, and 116.
Yeah, we're going to do some.
I think one of those picks, if he's there, is Voorhees.
Is Voorhees. All right, so yeah. Wide receiver, we got Michael Wilson, Parker Washington, Kayshon Booty, Jaden Reed. I really like Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
and then – I don't know. Did somebody get Tyler Scott? Dang. Yep. Somebody got Tyler Scott.
Yep.
Snap. Who got Tyler Scott? Because everyone, A.T. Perry, Cardinals got Tyler Scott. All right. I think Reed is my go.
Chris is in agreement with you here. Well, so is Jacqueline. But
another PR is not confused anymore, which is good. I'm glad you're not confused.
Yay!
So, all right, let's go with.
Okay, so Derek was like, check which guards to see who is available.
Oh, check with guards. Okay, let's see. Interior lineman. Voorhees is the best guard, and he's a 134, which I think we're going to be able to get in the fourth round. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got Patterson, you got Chandler Zavila, you got Jackson Kirkland. Like, all these guys are great, but I think all those guys are going to be available. Okay. So I think we can wait on guard, but I think if we wait much longer on a wide receiver,
yeah,
I don't think we're going to have as good of luck. Everybody, got a couple
of votes for Booty.
I got more votes for Booty than I got for anything else. So let's go with Kayshon Booty.
I know, I saw Reed here a couple times. I've seen Booty. Then there's LSU receiver.
LSU receiver is Booty. So I got one, two, three for Booty. I got one. Two, I got three for – all right, we're going to let y'all split it. Next one wins on – next thing I see, Booty or Reed. Next one that pops up is going to be the winner there on that aspect. So the last one was Boomer the Falcon at 8:05. So
Reed.
There it is, Reed. Derek wins with Reed.
and then Danny was like, not a Booty fan. Oh, there you go. Not like the Booty.
I mean, like, what's wrong with the Booty? All right. Now we can go back to addressing defensive line with Carl Brooks or Morho Ojomo.
Go interior offensive line.
Yep. See, Voorhees is still there.
Take him right now. Okay. Take him right now.
We got plenty of draft. Boom.
Yep.
Voorhees is my guy. I really like Voorhees. I think he's going to bounce back great from that ACL. You may not play him this year, but I think he'll be your answer at left guard for years to come. All right, now, Carl Brooks, Moro Ojomo, KJ Henry, Kobe Turner, and if we really wanted, Kayshon Booty's still there. Ivan Price Jr. is a good linebacker if you wanted to add there. So, Boomer says KJ Henry. Running back? No, we already got running back.
No, KJ here. He's edge. KJ Henry.
Yeah, KJ Henry is edge.
Right, that's what
he's
talking
a big
about.
Edge, I think, if I'm not mistaken. No, he's 6'4", 251. He's in the vein of AK-47. You know, yeah. So you're good there. I think somebody like a Carl Brooks from Bowling Green, he is 6'4", 300 pounds.
Wait, what? He's an edge?
No, he's a – well, yeah, he's like a
– Is he like a 3-4 edge?
Yeah, like a 3-4 edge. But they say was his role, a 3 technique. He's a prototypical 3 technique traits due to his ability to get into the opponent's backfield. He blacks the bulk to play at nose and the length to play outside. So we could go that route. We could go this guy. He's a, you know, like a nose kind of. Well, they say he's a 3-4 defensive end is what PFF puts him as. Ivan Pace Jr. was a lot of fun. Got the Senior Bowl, and he's like a missile. He's the one that knocked over the offensive lineman. Let me see if I can get this notification go away. So it'll – okay. That should do that. Now, there we go. Better. All right. Colby Wooden. Oh, this guy. This guy's fun. If you want another edge guy, Vilma Fehoko, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy with the hair.
Viami Fehoko.
Yeah. He is 6'4", 276. More in the vein of a bigger edge guy. He's got some good bend to him. I like him a lot myself. Derek says, I'm going to go with Ivan. Give me Ivan. Ivan is fun, dude. Ivan's a lot of fun. Like, we could go ahead and grab Ivan. If anybody, like, because you're going to need to add to that linebacker room with Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson and Michael Walker. That's, like, pretty much all we got right now. So, adding to the linebacker room is not a bad idea.
I can get behind that. I can absolutely get behind that.
Let's do that. Bam. All right. On the clock again. I'm still going to pound the table for that guy.
I'm down for, because I've seen some stuff on Twitter for him.
Well, there's your new Yaya Dobby.
Oh.
But we got to pick at 159. He could easily be there at 159.
Yeah. But I mean, if we pick,
let's go back and look and see who we've picked so far, because Derek was asking, have we taken an edge? So we took Ivan Pace, we took Andrew Voorhees, we took Jaden Reed, we took our edge was 80-80 that we took.
Yep.
And then we took Emmanuel Forbes, and then we took obviously Bijan Robinson. So, we could take another edge, or if there's something else that y'all would rather take. These people need to quit messaging me. So, let's see. What does the chat say? Should we double dip in edge? Can't see where it'd be.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, I mean, what else would you want to
– What else would you want to dip at?
Maybe a tight end? They just talked to this guy, Zach Kuntz, the Old Dominion tight end. There's Ritter's old tight end. He did okay at the Senior Bowl. I don't really see any, like, other than Payne Durham, I'd take him, but not here. I would take him here.
Yeah.
So.
Go back to Edge.
Edge? Wasn't very impressed with Isaiah McGuire out of Missouri. For me, it's KJ Henry, Colby Wooden, or these two, Fioko or Dobby.
I'd say KJ Henry.
All right, so we'll hold there. Somebody's asking about safeties. Let's go take a look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could probably use another safety. Ronnie Hickman, Jair Brown is not a bad safety. And outside of Jair Brown, I don't really see any names that are jumping out at me. Rashad Torrance, maybe. So I don't really see any safeties that are jumping out. So I think we go edge and we go.
I would say it's between Henry and Fajoko.
All right. So we'll do like we've been deciding everything tonight. Next one up on the Henry or Fajoko. So next one that throws up Henry or Fajoko, that's who we're taking. And then we'll move on to our next pick and see how that lands out. Grant is mid. I don't know who Grant is. It may have been a safety we were looking at.
Oh, no, I think he's probably talking about Richie Grant.
LOL, we in the nosebleeds at this point. Take the best player available. Move on. I got Fajoko. All right, let's roll. Bam. All right, we're moving. See, this is why in mock drafts we don't necessarily entertain trading down because it takes longer. All right, all positions. Hickman is there. Yaya Dobby's still there. We could go ahead and grab a backup quarterback if you wanted to, and Aiden O'Connell. D-lineman, Jared Clark is there.
We just double-dipped on that.
On D-lineman. We could go Kenton Mitchell, add some speed, some real speed.
I would be behind that. Then, I'd be behind Keaton. I know we talked to him. So.
Right, we talked to him. Let's see. Project Martin.
So, Jared Clark.
Yeah, Jared Clark is.
Oh, that's that D line.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody like Jared Clark. He's fun. Jared Clark's fun. That's for sure.
What? So is he interior?
Yeah, he's interior. He's like he would be like an eventual Grady replacement. Like he's 6'4", 334. He's a big boy, but he gets in there. Yeah, yeah. Analysis. There is no analysis. Now here's a guy. All right, everybody back to Keaton Mitchell or Eric Gray. Yes to Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell. Let's go, Mitchell. Add some speed to the running back room. This is going to be a run-heavy offense. Going to need some more backs to add to it.
Yep.
Plus, this thing is dragging on. We're at a minute or an hour and 15, so let's keep it pushing. Now we're really into the nosebleeds. Hey, we can get your boy Stetson Bennett.
No.
I knew you'd like that. We could add wide receiver Puka Nauka. He's gotten a lot of like love as far as like sleeper stuff goes. DJ Dale. I'm trying to see if anybody else really jumps out at me.
At this point, I'm thinking guys that we're looking at for special teams. So I'm thinking either more linebackers.
Yeah.
Corners, tight ends, those kinds of guys that are kind of going to be on your.
All right. Well, the top rated linebacker is Mohamed Dibeta. Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Diabetes. Dean Winters is a guy who he's an interesting player. He was like TCU's like main pass rusher D Winters, so he's a versatile linebacker.
I can see taking a guy like him because he could be a guy that's like very rotational, like fringe rotational guy early on.
Gotcha.
Makes the team on special teams, and then maybe he blossoms into a bigger rotational piece later on down the road.
From GT. This is the only Thomas. You talking about BJ Thomas from that's SFA. I don't know. Stephen F. Austin. I don't know. I don't know that guy. I don't know anything about him, if that's who you're talking about. First look, he's 6'6", 210. At an edge, and you're 210 pounds? Whoa.
Jesus.
So
no, thank string you. Bean.
Yeah, he is. All right, we're gonna go D Winters. We're gonna keep this thing on moving. We're gonna make the crowd happy. Does anybody else have? I see, like, Blizz wants Bennett. Anybody else care whether we grab Bennett or not?
Can Bennett play special teams? If he can, sure. Go ahead and draft him.
Sure. I mean, he had that 4.4 speed, bro. Yeah. All right, hold on. Wide receiver, we got Puka, whatever, Elijah Higgins, DeMario Douglas, Jaden Wood, Trey Tucker from Cincinnati.
Yeah. I think we actually looked at him.
Yeah, let's see. We'll go.
Let's go. Let's go with Puka.
We'll go with him. Last pick. All right. Anybody cares? See, I got DJ Dale. Boomer the Falcon says DJ Dale. I know that name. 61302. Sure. Let's add
that's
DJ
more, Dale. That, yeah, that's more of a Grady Jarrett size.
Yeah. Let's do that. DJ Dale.
And
that concludes our draft. And as always, we will post this to the page, and I'll put it out on Twitter. We got a D- for Bijan. That's hilarious. All right. Overall, we got a B+. We picked up Bijan Robinson, 8080, Emmanuel Forbes, Jaden Reed, Andrew Voorhees, Ivan Pace Jr., Vilma Fajoka, Keaton Mitchell, D. Winters, Puka Nauka, and DJ Dale.
Yep,
yeah, it was a good draft.
Yeah, I think if in a scenario where we trade back to 15, taking Bijan at 15 is a good.
It was interesting. It was interesting to look at what a trade down scenario might look like.
Yes,
and you know maybe next time we do this, we look at a trade up scenario. Maybe like trying to trade back into the first round kind of thing, and see where that leaves us. So Algier says, or Derek says, Algier and Nauka, reunite. There you go.
Hey, I think it was in there.
Yeah. I think there was a pretty good draft.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super happy with like super duper happy with like, the first three picks.
Oh yeah.
I think the first four, really. I'm excited to get Voorhees, get him in here, get him,
I love you, Fred. Fred didn't like Bijan when we were picking. Thank you, Fred. I appreciate you.
Oh, Charlie Thomas, linebacker, Georgia Tech. That's who he was talking about.
Oh, okay. I got you. Sorry. Maybe we'll look at that next time. All right, folks. So that's going to do it for us tonight. We had fun there. Like I said, we appreciate all y'all for joining us, hanging with us. As always, y'all can follow me on Twitter at McGrimm1128. That's GRIMM1128. Jonathan?
At Jonathan M. Holder. Just come by and say hi.
We got another What Say You on coming out on Thursday that we did with Savion Mixon, talking a lot about like special teams, or not secondary guys, cornerbacks, safeties, things like that, things that we can add, you know, guys that we can add in the draft-wise. He drops a lot of knowledge on that one. And then probably on Saturday, we will have, much like our offensive line video that me and Jonathan did, we will have the next evolution in that, which is the front seven. We'll be talking about D linemen and linebackers, giving y'all some more guys to take a look at and keep tabs on. But as always, y'all can keep just keep your eye on the channel. We'll be back live next Tuesday, and yeah, rise up, Falcons fans.
Rise up.
Peace.